This is Monsignor Gray, and this Sunday we're celebrating the fifth Sunday of Lent as we're reflecting on the raising of Lazarus from the dead as part of our readings for this weekend. And I'd like to take some time just to look at that passage, and so you might find it helpful to have it in front of you. This is from the 11th chapter of John, and you could find that in a missal or even just picking up your Bible. It's almost the entire 11th chapter. And as we read through it, I think that there are some helpful things we can look at. The first part is the discussion Jesus has with the disciples. Then after that, Jesus has his discussion with Martha. Martha is the sister of Lazarus. And then finally, there's the actual miracle itself, and there's the way that Jesus behaves, what Jesus does during that moment. And I think all three of these scenes have helpful things to look at. The first is Jesus speaking with the disciples. Jesus was not in Bethany at the time when Lazarus was ill and then eventually when he died. Jesus was still some ways away, partially because the Jews were looking to take his life. He knew that his life was in danger, so Jesus was at a distance, and he had been informed that Lazarus was ill. And so the disciples then, he speaks with the disciples about this illness. And Jesus explains for them that this illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through it. And that is a very, very interesting perspective, is that sometimes I think we put physical health as the supreme thing for us to be concerned about or worried about. And Jesus puts something above even our physical health. He says that this is for the glory of God. And also later he speaks about the disciples believing. This is so that the disciples may believe. So even if Lazarus dies, and Jesus even makes it clear, he says, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, because you may believe, that this is going to become an opportunity for the disciples themselves to grow in faith. It is a good reminder for us to hold on to our faith and for us not to be too concerned or worried when we deal with the crises and health scares and epidemics and so forth. In the midst of all of these times, we're very focused on people's physical health and their physical healing. But let us remember also that the Lord has a greater plan here, that it's not just, we're not made just simply for this world and for this world alone, but the Lord calls us to our true home, to our heavenly homeland, and that's ultimately where we are destined to be. So we try to do everything that we can here below, but let us not lose our focus on the world that is to come. And I think that perspective is such a good one. And even that the Lord might even bring good or glory out of even difficult circumstances. It's hard to imagine how that would be. But even Lazarus' own death, we say, well, what a shame that was. Later people would say, well, why didn't Jesus do something? He was able to open the eyes of the blind man, so why couldn't he do something here? And we might think about infections, and we might say, well, why doesn't the Lord intervene? Why doesn't the Lord stop this? What is the Lord doing? But the Lord can have greater plans, things that maybe we don't fully understand. And if, to some extent, I think if the situation we're going through now helps us to really rediscover how important our faith is, the importance of this aspect of our lives, maybe that's not such a bad thing. And there is something, I think, good to be said about that. So Jesus has a choice. And he says, does he go to Bethany? Does he go down to be with Lazarus to heal him or to raise him from the dead, and put himself at risk? Remember that he's, the closer he gets to Jerusalem, the more he himself will be in mortal danger. And Jesus chooses to go. The disciples are aware of this danger. He says, they were just trying to stone you. But the disciples are ready even to go along to die with Jesus. Even St. Thomas says that in that 11th chapter. So one of the great things about Jesus is also his heroism, that he's ready to do great things even at personal risk. So he's ready to go to be with Lazarus, to raise him from the dead, even if it means that he himself will have to die. And there's a great kind of foreshadowing here as Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, because we also know that just a short time afterwards it would be Jesus who would die, and then Jesus who would be raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. So Jesus does, in fact, go to Bethany. And when he gets to Bethany, then he speaks with the sister of Lazarus. He speaks with Martha. And there they have a conversation. And he speaks about Lazarus will rise. And Martha is a really remarkable woman. She's someone who is filled with faith. She believes that had Jesus been here, then Lazarus would not have died. She believes that whatever Jesus asks of the Father, God will give him, even now. She believes that he will rise on the last day in the resurrection. We say that every Sunday in the Creed. But then Jesus amplifies that, and he speaks of himself. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. It's a reminder of just how much power there is within Jesus. And the purpose of this discussion, then, is so that Martha might come to believe more deeply. Jesus says, do you believe all this? Whoever believes in me and dies will live. And Martha responds, yes, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. So Martha's faith is strengthened as a result of this discussion, and that's also a great encouragement for us. So the disciples are to grow in their faith, Martha is to grow in her faith, so we also should grow in our faith, especially in difficult times. This is precisely the time for us to hold on to our faith, not to let our faith be secondary, but in fact primary. This is, in fact, one of the most important things that we have to hold on to at this time. And then after this discussion, then Jesus goes to the area of the tomb itself. And when Jesus does that, then he goes up to where the tomb is. He asks then where they have laid him. And Jesus becomes very emotional. Sometimes they talk about him being overcome, being stirred with emotions. The readings even translate it by saying he was perturbed and deeply troubled. And when we hear this, maybe that seems kind of strange to think of Jesus as being perturbed and troubled. But think about what Jesus was looking at. They showed where this was, where Lazarus had been placed, and where was it? It was a cave. And there was a stone rolled in front of the cave, and Jesus said, take away the stone. It might be very much a reminder of Jesus' own death, how he would be buried in a tomb with a stone rolled in front of it in a cave in which no one had yet been buried. And that there is a little reminder, another foreshadowing of what would happen to Jesus. So Jesus has a very emotional response, and it can be because he loved Lazarus, so it was great personal affection, but it could also be that he was overcome with emotion from the standpoint of his own passage that he himself would have to go through, as well as the lack of faith from the people that were around him, which might have also disturbed him or troubled him. So we have multiple reasons to consider this response. But nonetheless, Jesus proceeds ahead and then promises that we would see the glory of God. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So all of this that has taken place would be for God's glory. So we hold on to that as well. I'd like to raise this question. When we think about these events we're going through and the difficulty we have in not having public mass, is to consider, what is it that we've learned in this period of time? What have you learned? What have you done in this period of time? Sometimes the way we spend our time, we can waste a lot of time or use it productively and use this as a chance still to grow in our faith by making time for prayer. We can also ask them what we've learned, what has the Lord taught us during this time? How is it that we look at things differently? Sometimes we learn from experience. We say if we only knew what was going to happen, we would have done this or that. Well, what are those things that we should have done? Some people might think just in terms of preparedness, they might say that they'd want to set aside more of an emergency fund or finances to care for themselves, and that's fine. That's probably a very good thing to do. But also in a spiritual sense as well, what is it that we should do as well? Sometimes I think we take the Eucharist for granted, or we take Mass for granted. Maybe we're not always happy about having to go to Mass, or it seems like an imposition. Maybe we'd rather do other things. But then suddenly when we don't have that opportunity anymore, then it makes us realize, I think, how much we miss, what we're missing out on, what we really need in a certain sense to maintain that connection with Jesus. And when it's taken away from us, maybe people have felt a little disconnected from their faith or disconnected from the Lord. And this then is an opportunity for us to really see then what is it that we need to do to put that relationship on a better footing, to be more ready to respond to our Lord. So here's that homework then that we can give to everyone, is to think then, reflect in a moment of silence and quiet on what you've experienced in these last weeks and what you've learned from it. And because of that, what you want to be different, especially once we're able to return back to Mass. So let us then make good resolutions. And in that sense, we can say we're using this Lenten time very well. This is a very good time for us to consider ways of returning ourselves, refocusing ourselves on the Lord and coming back to Him. So we ask for blessings for everyone. We look forward to that day at which we can gather around the Lord's altar once again and wish everyone the Lord's blessings.